Welcome to Audit IQ Update for May 27, 2026. I'm your host, Alex, and as always, we'll be delving into the world of monitoring for e-commerce merchants, covering every aspect from technical, operational, to sales, and more. Let's get into it. We've got a packed week to talk through, so let me set the scene. Over the past 7 days, we've seen a major WooCommerce release that changes the minimum requirements for millions of stores. Some genuinely useful data from Smashing Magazine on the ROI of user experience, an important piece from Practical E-commerce on what happens when you enter a new market without understanding its payment infrastructure, and from the technical side, some fascinating engineering work from Shopify and Cloudflare that tells us where platform infrastructure is heading. There's a thread running through all of this, and it's one we come back to often: the gap between what you think your customers experience and what they actually experience. Let's dig in. Let's start with the biggest news for WooCommerce merchants this week. WooCommerce 10.8 Points & Row dropped on May 26th, and the headline features are exactly what you'd want. Faster storefronts, a smoother add-to-cart experience, and improvements to the request email system. On the surface, this is a straightforward win. Who doesn't want a faster store? But there's a critical detail buried in the release notes that deserves more attention. WordPress 6.9 is now the required minimum. That's a hard dependency, not a recommendation. If you're running WordPress 6.7 or 6.8, you need to update your core WordPress installation before you can run WooCommerce 10.8. And that cascading update, WordPress Core plus WooCommerce plus whatever other plugins you're running, is exactly the kind of change that introduces subtle breakage. Now, I want to be clear, updating is absolutely the right thing to do. WooCommerce 10.8's performance improvements are real, and staying on old versions is a security risk. The question isn't whether to update, it's how you verify that the update went smoothly for your actual customers, not just in your staging environment. The smoother add to cart feature almost certainly involves changes to how WooCommerce handles cart fragments, those Ajax requests that update your mini cart without reloading the whole page. If you're running a custom theme or plugins that hook into cart fragment JavaScript, you need to test that specific interaction thoroughly. And by test, I don't just mean clicking Add to Cart on your laptop once. I mean monitoring what happens when a few thousand real customers interact with that button across Chrome, Safari, Firefox, on phones, on tablets, on slow connections. This is where invisible revenue leaks happen. The store owner tests the update, everything looks fine on their fast office connection, and they move on. Meanwhile, 3% of their mobile customers on Safari are experiencing a JavaScript error that silently prevents the cart from updating. That 3% translates to real lost revenue, and without real user monitoring, you'll never know it happened. You'll just see a slightly lower conversion rate and wonder why. Shifting gears to the UX conversation. Carrie Webster published a piece on Smashing Magazine on May 15th called 10 Data-Backed Truths of User Experience ROI. And it's the kind of article I wish every e-commerce stakeholder would read. The core argument, backed by solid data, is that UX improvements aren't a nice to have. They have a direct, measurable impact on revenue, retention, and long-term growth. Some of the numbers she cites are striking. Optimizing user experience can boost conversion rates by up to 27%. Every second of load time delay reduces conversions by 4.4%. These aren't theoretical projections. They're drawn from real-world data across multiple studies and multiple industries. What makes this particularly relevant for our audience is the bridge it builds between UX and monitoring. Webster's data tells you what the ROI of good UX looks like. But the implicit question is, how do you maintain that UX in production? You can spend months perfecting your checkout flow, optimizing your page speed, refining your mobile experience, and then a single bad deployment or a misbehaving third-party script can undo all of it in an afternoon. The industry data on cart abandonment drives this home. The latest Baymard Institute numbers show that 18% of US online shoppers have abandoned a purchase because the checkout was too long or too complicated. Another 17% left because they couldn't see the total cost up front. Now, some of those are pure UX design issues. You need fewer form fields, or you need to show shipping costs earlier. But a meaningful portion of what customers perceive as too complicated is actually broken. A checkout that throws a JavaScript error, forces a page reload, or loses the items in the cart isn't complicated. It's malfunctioning. But from the customer's perspective, the result is the same. They leave. Let's talk about something a bit different. Practical e-commerce published an interesting piece on May 26th about what foreign merchants miss when entering the Indian market. The central insight is that sellers underestimate how deeply the Unified Payments Interface, UPI, and localized checkout experiences drive sales in India. It's not just about translating your site into Hindi. It's about understanding that the payment infrastructure is fundamentally different, that UPI handles a massive volume of transactions, and that customers expect specific checkout flows that integrate with the payment methods they actually use. Now, why does this matter for monitoring? Because checkout localization is one of the most error-prone areas in e-commerce. Every time you add a new payment method, a new checkout flow, or a new market-specific integration, you're adding complexity to the most revenue-critical part of your store. A UPI integration that works in testing but fails intermittently in production, perhaps because of API timeouts during peak Indian business hours, is exactly the kind of issue that costs you an emerging market, without you ever knowing why your India sales aren't growing. This is a broader pattern we see in e-commerce internationalization. Merchants expand into new markets, add new payment gateways, set up new checkout flows, and test them once. But they don't monitor them continuously. The result is that their most important international markets often have the worst customer experience, because those newly built checkout paths receive the least monitoring attention. On the pure engineering side, I want to highlight two developments that tell us where platform infrastructure is heading. First, Shopify Engineering published a detailed blog post earlier this month about how they replaced Redis with MySQL for inventory reservations, and it scaled. This is fascinating for anyone interested in how large-scale e-commerce platforms handle the hardest problems. Inventory reservation, holding stock while a customer checks out, is one of those operations that has to be fast, consistent, and reliable under extreme load. Shopify ran both systems in parallel in what they called shadow mode, writing every reservation to both Redis and MySQL simultaneously before cutting over. They used skip locked queries, composite primary keys, and careful connection management to hit their scale targets. Why should a merchant care about this? Because it tells you something important about platform reliability. When your platform is actively investing in making its inventory systems more robust and scalable, that benefits every store on the platform. It means fewer oversells during flash sales, fewer, sorry, this item is no longer available, errors at checkout, and ultimately more completed transactions. But it also highlights how much complexity sits beneath the surface of a simple e-commerce transaction. Every add to cart, every checkout, every payment involves dozens of infrastructure operations, and any one of them can fail in ways that are invisible to the merchant but very visible to the customer. Second, Cloudflare released a new Deploy Helpers package in their Workers SDK this week, the Cloudflare Deploy Helpers at version 0.1.0. This is a shared internal package for deploy-related helper types and code. On its own, it's a minor release. But it signals Cloudflare's continued investment in making their edge computing platform easier to deploy to, which matters for e-commerce because more and more of the web performance stack is moving to the edge. When your product images are served from a CDN node 50 miles from the customer instead of a server 3,000 miles away, page loads get faster. When your checkout API calls are handled by edge workers near the customer, latency drops. The infrastructure trend here is clear. The future of e-commerce performance is distributed, and the tooling is maturing rapidly. let me bring things together with a trend I've been watching closely. There's a quiet convergence happening between core web vitals, real user monitoring, and revenue attribution. And it's changing how sophisticated e-commerce teams think about site performance. Google's core web vitals have been a ranking factor for a few years now, but in 2026, they've become something more, a shared language between developers, marketers, and business leaders. When your largest contentful paint is over 2.5 seconds, that's not just a developer metric anymore. It's a Google ranking signal, a conversion rate predictor, and a customer experience indicator all wrapped into one number. The latest research shows that sites passing all three CWV thresholds see conversion improvements of up to 27%, and a 1 second improvement in load time can boost conversions by over 4%. For a store doing $10 million a year, 4% is $400,000. That's a number that gets executive attention. But here's the nuance that often gets lost. Core Web Vitals are field metrics measured from real users. Your lab score on Lighthouse might be perfect, but if 40% of your actual customers are on mobile devices with spotty 4G connections, their experience is very different from what Lighthouse reports. This is why real user monitoring isn't optional anymore. It's the only way to know what your actual core web vital scores look like for your actual customers. I also want to touch briefly on the CSS tricks piece from this week by Jeff Graham about technical writing in the age of AI. On the surface, this might seem tangential to e-commerce monitoring, but there's a deeper relevance. Graham discusses how demand for technical content has significantly declined as developers increasingly turn to AI tools for answers. Traffic to technical publications is dropping across the board. For e-commerce teams, this has a practical implication. If your developers are using AI to troubleshoot site issues, and many are, they're getting answers based on training data that might not reflect your specific platform version, your specific plugin combination, or the specific interaction pattern causing the problem. AI is great at general guidance. It's much less reliable for diagnosing why does our checkout break on the third step when the customer has two items and uses PayPal in France. That kind of specificity requires real-time data from your actual environment, which is what monitoring tools provide. Looking at the broader competitive landscape in e-commerce monitoring, we're seeing a clear trend. The market is moving from generic application monitoring toward e-commerce specific solutions. The reason is straightforward. A retail site has fundamentally different monitoring needs than a SaaS application or a content platform. The critical paths are different, the error tolerance is different, and the revenue implications of downtime or degradation are immediate and measurable. The most forward-thinking e-commerce teams aren't just monitoring uptime anymore. They're monitoring the complete customer journey, from landing page through product browsing, through add to cart, through checkout, through payment confirmation, and correlating every step with revenue impact. When you can say this specific JavaScript error on the shipping address form is costing us approximately $3,200 per day, you've transformed monitoring from a technical concern into a business intelligence function. So what should you be paying attention to this week? If you're a WooCommerce merchant, plan your 10.8 update carefully. Test in staging, verify your WordPress 6.9 compatibility, and monitor real user experience after deployment. Don't just check if the homepage loads. If you're expanding internationally, treat every new payment integration as a high-risk deployment that deserves continuous monitoring, especially during the first few weeks. And regardless of your platform, start thinking about Core Web Vitals not as a checkbox for Google, but as a continuous performance indicator that directly predicts your conversion rate. The thread connecting everything this week is that the distance between working and working well in e-commerce is where revenue lives. Your store can be technically online, passing all its health checks, serving every page with a 200 status code, and still be losing customers to subtle performance issues, intermittent errors, and checkout friction that only real user monitoring can reveal. That's your Audit IQ update for May 27th, 2026. If any of this sparked a question or you want to learn more about e-commerce monitoring, you can find us at auditiq.cloud. We'll be back next week. Until then, keep monitoring.